Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 10th canto, text 24, The Opulence of the Absolute. So, Om Ganati Miranda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha.
Do you have it written down?
No. Don't have it written down? No. So you can't do it responsibly. All right. So try to repeat. Purudasam cha mukyam vam vidhi parta brahaspatim sinaninam aham skandaha sarasam Asmi Sagaraha. All right, so I'll just read the verse one or two times since you don't have it written down. Purudasam jamukyam mam vidiparta brahaspatim senani namaham skanda sarasam hasmi sagaraha. Purudasam jamukyam mam vidiparta brahaspatim senani namaham skanda sarasam asmi sagaraha. So you can repeat. Purudasam of all priests. Cha also. Mukyam the chief. Mam me. Vidhi understand. Parta O son of Pritha. Brahaspatim. Brahaspati. Senanina of all commanders. Aham, I am. Skandaha, Kartikeya, Sarasam, of all reservoirs of water. Asmi, I am. Sagaraha, the ocean. So translation, of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief. Brahaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya, and of bodies of water, I am the ocean. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Indra is the chief demigod of the heavenly planets and is known as the king of the heavens. The planet on which he reigns is called Indraloka. Brahaspati is Indra's priest. And since Indra is the chief of all kings, Brahaspati is the chief of all priests. And as Indra is the chief of all kings, similarly, Skanda or Kartikeya, the son of Parvati and Lord Shiva, is the chief of all military commanders. And of all bodies of water, the ocean is the greatest. These representations of Krishna only give hints of his greatness. So I'll comment a little bit. Purudasam jamukyam mam vidhi partha brahaspatim senaninam namaham skanda sarasam asmi sagaraha. So om gada tivananda shaganam jana shlakaya chakshur and viditam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So these three things mentioned here are very interesting. First we'll talk about brahaspati. As it's stated here, Brahaspati is the chief or the chief priest of the demigods. And it's interesting to note that even the demons, they have priests. They have gurus. And of course, their guru is Shukracharya. There's interesting stories about Shukracharya. Shukracharya actually wanted to be the priest of the demigods. And when Brahaspati was appointed, he got extremely envious, and he vowed to be the enemy of the demigods. And so the demons they became very, very powerful because they worshipped their guru. So even if your guru is a demon, that's interesting. It's not that you'll go back to Godhead if you worship a demon guru, but somehow or other, he's a Vedic demon. Vedic. That's interesting. That is a demon who uses tantra. Because in the Vedas, or in Indian culture, there's tantra. Tantra means something that connects you. Basically, that's the word. Tantra doesn't necessarily mean something bad. There's right-handed tantra and left-handed tantra. Right-handed tantra is the good stuff, like the Narada Pancharatra, how to worship the deity. This is all tantra, connections or instructions on how to worship the deities. You know, so we follow, we're tantrics also. Did you know that? So, but left-handed tantra is like, and I think I've described it here before, where they also have regulated principles like eating meat, taking intoxication, making obscene gestures, eating fish, and also having illicit sex life. In other words, the opposite of our four regulated principles. They have four regulated principles, but they're the opposite of our four regulated principles. Instead of no meat, fish, or eggs, you must take meat, fish, and eggs. Instead of no illicit sex, but also with animals. You know, so they really go whole hog in the opposite way. So anyway, so that's sort of a Vedic thing. Not really Vedic, because Veda means knowledge, but in some of the Puranas and the associated literatures that are meant for those in the mode of ignorance, because we know some of the literatures are meant for the modes of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance, then you have those injunctions, like how to offer meat to the goddess Kali once a month on the full moon day, and you say to the goat that you will get a chance to eat me in your next life. So anyway, so Brihaspati, he really got into that, and those who worship Brihaspati, they became very powerful. In fact, Brihaspati even had the ability, not Brihaspati, but Shukracharya actually had the ability to bring back dead people from death to life. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? That was called Mrityu Sanjeevani. He had that ability. So there's many stories about that. One story is that Brihaspati's son, his name was Kacha, he wanted to learn this Mrityu Sanjeevani from Shukracharya. So he went and became a disciple of Shukracharya. Interesting, isn't it? That Brihaspati's son became a disciple of Shukracharya. And he worshipped his guru, Shukracharya, for like 100 years. And after that 100 years, he got the ability to have that Mrityu Sanjeevani so he could bring the demigods back to life too. But there was a problem. During those 100 years, Shukracharya's daughter fell in love with Kacha. Is everyone following the story so far? And after the 100 years were over, she said, now that you're freed from serving my father, let's get married. And he said, no, because you're the daughter of my guru, and you can't marry the daughter of your guru. It's an improper arrangement. And so she got so angry, as they say, hell hath no fury, like a woman scorned. You ever hear that before? No, something new for you. I mean, there's also that story where Urvasi was refused by Arjuna, and she cursed Arjuna that because of that, no woman will have you. You'll become a eunuch. You know that story? No. Anyway, there's no time to tell that story now. So anyway, so getting back to the other story is that Devayani, she was the daughter of Shukracharya, and she cursed this poor Kacha that you will lose your ability to bring people back to life. You know, after 100 years of serving his guru, and then he lost everything. And then he cursed her. Love. So he cursed her that because of that, you will not marry a Brahmin. And because of that, she later on married a Kshatriya. Does anybody remember what the Kshatriya's name was? Bhagavatam. No? Yayati. The famous story. Yayati and Devayani in the Bhagavatam. You've read that? Famous story. So that's one story about Shukracharya, because he was so envious of Brihaspati. Another story is that we know that Shukracharya tried to stop Bali Maharaj from offering everything to Vamana, Dave. And because of that, while Bali Maharaj was actually getting ready to make the offering, he was pouring water from his water pot. And Shukracharya tried to keep that water pot from pouring water. It had a little spout on it. And Lord Vamanadeva poked his eye out with a piece of grass. So Shukracharya, if you see a picture of him, he always is like blind in one eye. Another thing is in the Vedic system that if someone looks at you with one eye, they're cursing you. Did you know that? Just like you see sometimes these Hindi movies, these Indian movies, and you see Shakuni like looking in one eye like that. It means it's cursing you. Anyway, so that's another story about Shukracharya. And another story, of course, is when Brihaspati got offended by Indra, and because Indra was just so attached to being the king of the demigods and having his wife there and everything like that, Brihaspati left, and the demigods got defeated by the demons. And when the demigods got defeated by the demons, there was the whole story in the Bhagavatam, the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam about that particular instance, that eventually, you know, Indra had to get another spiritual master, and then he had to kill his spiritual master. Pretty good. He had to kill his spiritual master, and then anyway, this whole story of Chitraketu, where he had to kill a devotee, and that's in the Bhagavatam. Anyway, so that's the story of Shukracharya. So if you worship your guru, you become very powerful. That's what you should understand. Whether or not your guru is a devotee, you become powerful materially or spiritually. So because Brihaspati is the chief of all the priests, therefore he's taken as a representative of Krishna. And Kartikeya, of course, does anyone know what type of carrier Kartikeya rides on? Does anyone know? It's a test for all of you. He rides on a peacock. Did you know that? Because all the demigods, they have their different carriers. Like Lord Brahma, he has a what? Does anyone know what? A swan. Krishna rides on a what? Garuda, like an eagle. So every single demigod or god has a particular carrier. And, of course, Kartikeya rides on a peacock when he goes to fight. It's quite interesting. And so Kartikeya, because he's the greatest fighter, he's known as the greatest personality here, and he's a representative of Krishna. And of bodies of water, the ocean, because the ocean is like limitless, is taken as a representative of Krishna, or manifestation of Krishna's opulence. Of course, at the same time, it's not that if we worship any of these different aspects of Krishna's opulences that it's the same as worshiping Krishna, because these are all vibhutis. In other words, they're shaktis of Krishna. They're manifestations of Krishna, illustrating the greatness of Krishna. Just like before I joined the Krishna consciousness movement, I would actually look up in the air, sometimes at night when the sky was clear, and see all the stars and think, oh, how great God is, how wonderful God is. So this is for people basically who are attached to the material world. Just like the universal form is for people who are attached to the universe, to the material world, so they understand the greatness of God. And that's to instill in us one of the prerequisites for advancing in devotional service, which is awe and reverence, which is very, very important. Many devotees nowadays, they try to jump to a higher platform than that which they're ready for. Of course, there's a word in Sanskrit. The word is adhikar. One has a right for certain things. So they tried to jump up to the platform of understanding the intimate leelas in the spiritual world. So before jumping up to those leelas, or before going up to those leelas, one has to develop a sense of awe and reverence for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even Srila Prabhupada recommended and instructed that when we worship Radha and Krishna, we should worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi and Narayan. Not that Radha and Krishna have become Lakshmi and Narayan. Of course, Lakshmi and Narayan are expansions of Radha and Krishna. But the mood of awe and reverence is necessary as a step before we can actually progress in devotional service. And so when one has come to that stage, then one can actually chant nicely. When one comes to the understanding that God is Sri Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And it takes a long time. I mean, how many of us actually understand that? Bhonam janmanamante ganamam prapajate Vasudeva Sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabha, as Krishna says in the Gita. Such a person is very rare. What does it mean, Vasudeva, or Krishna is everything? Well, there's several things it means. One thing it means is that everything is Krishna's energy. But another thing it means is everything belongs to Krishna. And ultimately it means everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service. Because if something or everything belongs to Krishna, that means everything should be used for the person to whom it belongs. And so that's a very high understanding. That means not a single moment, because time also belongs to Krishna, not a single speck of Krishna's energies should be used for any other purpose. In other words, if you're in Maya 5 minutes a day, you haven't realized Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Is anyone here not in Maya at least five minutes a day? 10 minutes? 23 and a half hours a day? I don't think so. I mean, no, maybe not 23 and a half hours, because you go to the Mangal Arati. So if you're doing something else, that's one thing you can appreciate about Prabhupada. The 24 hours he's engaged in Krishna's service. And of course, one of the qualities of a pure devotee is it does not waste a moment. Because all the moments belong to Krishna. So anyway. So this is the importance of understanding Vasudevam Sarvamiti. So we can be fully engaged. Mam chiyo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. A full contribution to Brahman. Fully engaged in devotional service. Then sagunan samati chaitan brahma vuyaya kalpati. Then we can overcome the three modes of material nature. Anyway, we'll keep it short today. So any questions or comments? Because I just got in from a long trip. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Anyway, it's very nice to be here. I came here in the middle of the winter, you know, January, because I'm very attracted to the devotees here and the devotion here in Slovenia. I'm not going any other place where it's this cold. So, you know, we're very pleased with it. Nanta Prabhu is doing such a good job, and the devotees serving the deities, that, you know, I just became attracted to coming here and visiting the devotees. So thank you very much for receiving me. So any questions or comments? Comments, questions? No? Holiday, no.
My questions.
Yeah.
So how to achieve this Vasudeva state? I mean, it's really high, elevated.
It's very high.
So what it means, like you mentioned, if you serve your Gurudev, you'll get...
If you serve Shukracharya. So... Preaching Krishna consciousness. I mean, just like we know about how do we engage in devotional service? There's Navabhakti, the nine process of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. So when you preach Krishna consciousness, you automatically perform all the nine processes of devotional service. So when you're engaged in spreading the movement and preaching, then certainly you have to remember Krishna, you have to chant Krishna's glories, you're serving the Vaishnavas, you're serving the deities, you know, Padasevanam, and you have to understand Bhaktaram Jagatapasam, Sarvalokam Raheshanam, Suridam, Sarvabhutam, Krishna is your friend. And that's real surrender. Like Prabhupada said, preaching is in the mood of the gopis. You know, it's Atma Nivedanam, complete surrender to Krishna. So, the more we preach, the more Krishna will actually help us engage full time in his service. And it's an important point. We have to understand Vasudevam Sarvamiti before we can understand the higher rasas in Krishna consciousness, before we can actually enter into the higher points of Krishna consciousness. I mean, so many times I see devotees jumping up or attempting to jump up to a higher understanding, which they're not really ready for. And of course, Prabhupada would often quote this verse in Bengali. It's in English too. Big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on jumping, melancholy. So they, like Hanuman, he jumped to Ceylon. Ceylon is Sri Lanka. And so if we imitate or try to imitate Hanuman, then we fall on our faces. So we have to be very, very careful of understanding what is our adhikar. Just like recently, I've been preparing a course in the Jiva Dharma, and this point is always brought up. You know, people are asking their guru, what is my adhikar? Am I ready for sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, raganuga bhakti? What is my adhikar? And it's interesting. The guru asked the disciple, well, what is your life like? What desires do you have? And the disciple's honest with the guru, which is unusual. So the disciple said, I can think of one instance in the Jiva Dharma. The disciple says, well, the only desire I have is for profit, adoration, distinction. When I'm chanting, I actually want people to appreciate me. So honest. You know, it's actually part of the loving, or one of the loving exchanges that one has. Dadati pratigranati guyam akirti prichati. Revealing the mind and confidence. So it's interesting, of course, that confidence means the guru didn't go and tell everybody else what the disciple said the next day. So then the guru says, well, because you're admitting this and struggling with this, I can understand you're in the beginning stage of Majjhima Adhikari. So it's really interesting and important for us to understand what stage we're at in devotional service too. And we need the help of other Vaishnavas to understand that. You know, are we still Kanishta Adhikaris, where, you know, we worship Krishna in the temple, but we treat the devotees like hell after we leave the temple room? That's a Kanishta Adhikari. You know, or we may treat some devotees nicely, but some devotees not nicely. We have friends and enemies. That's Kanishta Adhikari, because we don't see Krishna in everyone's heart. So it's important to understand, you know, where am I? What's the next step? What's the ultimate goal? And how to get there. This is part of the progressive path of devotional service. And one has to be honest. And that helps one advance. And don't try to do something you're not ready for. Don't imitate a surrendered devotee. Like Anusar Anukar. We follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, but we don't imitate him. We understand that, you know, we can't do that sort of austerity. You know, someone says to me, you have to wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and write Vaishnava literatures. I can't do it. You have to be honest. Yes?
And Mancha Yogi Vichalina is this transcendental stage. Transcendental.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Even.
And is this like Pratima? Is it like Brahma Bhuta platform?
And yeah, you can fall down from the Brahma Bhuta platform.
So the one who
No, you can temporarily rise up, you know, for a few seconds. Abhicharena bhakti means that basically, as Rupa Goswami describes, it's anyabhi lachita shunyam gyanakaryam anavritam anukulyena krishnana shinla bhakti uttamam. Devotional service done without those negative things, jnana and karma and devotional service executed to please Krishna according to what Krishna wants in an active way. So one who engages in that devotional service, then he can rise above the modes of material nature. Sagunan samaticha, and be established Brahman. Mamchio bhyavicharena. But there's two aspects to the Brahma-Buddha platform. One is just the technical Brahma-Buddha platform whereby one realizes one is spirit-soul. The other, the Krishna-conscious Brahma-Buddha platform, is one realizes he's a servant of Krishna. I mean, sometimes these terms are defined in the context in which you find them. Anyway, so people who just understand their spirit soul or understand Brahman, they can fall down. In fact, Bhagavatam says that, Aruya Katrena Param Padam Tata, that they may go all the way up to the Brahman, but then they can still fall down. But one who is situated in Krishna consciousness, in pure Krishna consciousness, cannot fall down. But even at the stage of Baba, you can fall down. Like Bhart Maharaj, she fell down from the stage of Baba. Only from prema are you aloof or free from the tendency to fall down.
So this verse actually is talking about
that. Yeah, one sense it is. Mamchiyo bhyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagutan sagun. Yeah, he transcends the modes of nature. Abhyavachari bhakti. In one sense, yes. And also, when we're engaged in devotional service, fully engaged, we're not controlled by the modes of nature. However, we're not always fully engaged in devotional service. Sometimes. What's that? On what stage? Let's say if you're absorbed in kirtan, you know, really enthusiastic kirtan, then you're actually transcending the modes of nature. But you're not at the stage of pure devotional service then. So you can transcend the modes of nature even before you become a pure devotee, but it's not steady, it's not nishta at that point. Any other questions? Yeah.
Is this what you're describing, same as Bhava Bhasa describing
Bhakti Sampradaya? Oh, Bhava Bhasa, the reflection. No, actually, there's even what Bhava Bhasa is, a reflection of Bhava, is there's two types of a dried up and burnt up ecstasy described by Srila Rupa Goswami. And this occurs even in a non-devotee, when there is an ecstatic kirtan or some ecstatic Bhagavatam recital or is some association with devotee. I mean, I'll give you an example. One time I was at a festival, and it was a really ecstatic festival, and I was distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Of course, I'm not saying I had any bhava, but but people were coming close to the festival, and I remember some people were coming up to me and saying, "Wow, I feel ecstasy. Why am I feeling ecstasy? What are you people burning?" They thought we were burning marijuana or something like that. But they said, "I'm experiencing ecstasy," because they were coming into, that's Baba Bhas right there. You know. Baba Bhas is not what we experience. I mean, hopefully, we're experiencing, I mean, if we're actually progressing and following the rules and regulations, we're experiencing more than Baba Bhas. But even non-devotees, it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, can experience this Baba Bhath if they come in contact with a pure devotee. I mean, I saw that when people came in contact with Prabhupada, they actually experienced some sort of ecstasy. You see that? I've been watching some of the videos, as you'll probably remember, in Prabhupada videos, and seeing different people coming in contact with Prabhupada, and they actually become ecstatic just by being in the same room with Prabhupada. That's Baba Bhath. I remember the first time I met Prabhupada, it was in 1971, and I just joined the movement at 1 week before. Then, you know, I could say I experienced Baba Bhath at that particular stage, just by seeing Prabhupada. It's like the room, even though it was a tiny little room, probably half the size of this room, it was like the room expanded to eternity. And I immediately, you know, could realize that Prabhupada had come from the spiritual world, even though I was just like straight out of hippie life, just by being in the association of Prabhupada. So that's Baba Bhath. Any other questions or comments? Or problems? Yes. Yeah, from the demon guru. It's like tantric stuff. Yeah.
It's one interesting consideration that the guru was not rational, right? He was like a kamakanda.
Well, he was more than that. I mean, he was, sometimes he was Vaishnava if it suited his purposes. Like Shukracharya was advising Bali Maharaj to worship Vishnu, but when Vishnu wanted everything, he said, forget about that guy. So he was sort of like an opportunist. Whatever sort of ritual worked, he would take. Because the Vaishnavas offended their guru.
Not because it pleased their guru, but because they...
Well, it also mentions in the Bhagavatam because they were faithful to their guru and the Vaishnava offended their guru. Nagati Katopi. Brihaspati was offended. Both things happen. Because there's... Like in the Bhagavatam, when it discusses how to get mystic powers, you know that section of the Bhagavatam? There's also... like materialistic mystic powers or spiritual mystic powers. So there are material things that one can do to become more powerful in this world. I mean, there is black magic, there's tantric stuff. It's not simply imagination. Many devotees have gone to India have experienced things like that. There was one of my friends, this is an interesting story. Before he became a devotee, he was on a motorcycle taking a tour around India. And he came across this guru and began to assist the guru. And one day the guru said, you know, it's time for our yearly sacrifice. He didn't realize he was supposed to be sacrificed. So he went to gather all the ingredients for the sacrifice. And fortunately, he ran into someone, you know, a policeman or something like that, who told him that this guru sacrifices a disciple every year. And so therefore, you better run away. So he ran away, and that's why he's still alive today. So you see all this, you know, this tantric stuff going on. Actually, Well, I don't know if I should say this. But in New Orleans, which is like the head of voodoo in the United States, I have one disciple who's a voodoo queen. I did not train her up in that. But she used to advertise on her webpage, I owe everything to my guru, Bir Krishna Goswami, the voodoo queen of New Orleans. And I think, well, I didn't teach you that stuff. So, you know, there are tantrics, there is tantric stuff, you know, where one gets like black magic power or something like that, or you know, like we know in the West is voodoo. That's... No, they're not more powerful. The Vaishnava is always protected. I mean, just like when even when Maharaj Ambarish, he was cursed by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni created this demon from his hair. You know the story in the Bhagavad Gita. Then Krishna protected him. Krishna's tradition chakra protected him. A devotee is always protected. But if a devotee deviates or offends the spiritual master, then he loses his spiritual protection. Nagati katopi. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati katopi. So that's what happened with Indra. He offended his spiritual master. His spiritual master left, and then Indra lost everything. And then he had to take shelter of Krishna. I mean, there's this whole story in the Bhagavatam. He took Visvarup as his spiritual master. And this Visvarup, yeah, I'll tell a little bit of the story. This Visvarup was also a little inclined towards the demons too, because he had came from a mixed family. So when he was offering oblations to the demigods, he also, you know, put a little aside for the demons. So Indra got so angry with him, he cut off his guru's head. So no, he offended his first guru by ignoring him. Then he cut off his second, no, not just head, three heads. You all know that story? Visvarup had three heads. So you can imagine, it's bad enough. You cut up one head of your guru. But if your guru has three heads? So he cut off the three heads of his guru. And then his guru's father, he got real upset with him, Twasta. And he said, I'm going to kill this Indra. So he performed a sacrifice to get a demon who would kill Indra. But he pronounced one word wrong in his sacrifice. Instead of saying, I'm creating a demon who will be an enemy of Indra, he said, I'm creating a demon who will be, who Indra will be the enemy of. You understand the difference? And that demon was actually a devotee too. Because that demon was a devotee. His name was Chitraketu before he became the demon, Vritrasura. Chitraketu, well, sort of got Parvati upset with him because he made some fun of Lord Shiva while Lord Shiva was with Parvati, and Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati to become a demon, so he accepted that curse, bowed down to her. The story is in the Bhagavatam. And then he became a Krishna conscious demon. And he was fighting with Indra. And as he was fighting with Indra, the demon was more Krishna conscious than Indra was. And he was preaching to Indra about Krishna consciousness. What an interesting story, isn't it? How even demons can become Krishna conscious. So he's preaching to Indra about Krishna consciousness. And then ultimately, Indra didn't kill him, but he thought he'd kill him. Ultimately, he swallowed Indra when he was fighting with Indra. Indra had, this is another story, it's interesting. Indra had a thunderbolt that was created by a Brahmin's bones, the Dichi. That's a whole other story in Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is so interesting. And so, but Indra still got swallowed by the demon, or a devotee, can't say he was a demon. And the demon went into trance and left his body voluntarily, but Indra came out of the body of the demon, cut off the demon's head, and he was responsible for killing a devotee, demon. So in several instances, you know, Indra kills two spiritual masters, kills a devotee. You know, it's pretty heavy. I mean, one time there's a story also when he killed the second spiritual master, cutting off three heads. He had all this sin. He had to give it out to different people. Yeah, I won't mention who he gave out to. So, but the third time he couldn't overcome the sin. So, you know, he had to hide out. Anyway, so that Indra's problem is he keeps offending Vaishnavas. I mean, and he goes after Rishi's wives. like Gautama Rishi's wife, Ahalya, he went after her and took Gautama Rishi's form, then got cursed by Gautama Rishi. Indra is a Sakama devotee, generally. Sakama means, it's a dangerous. Sakama means a devotee who has some desire. So that means you're prone to offending Vaishnavas, or prone to offending the spiritual master, not listening to the spiritual master. And so Indra keeps doing that, and that's why he becomes weak. So if we offend a devotee, then we'll become very weak. Actually, there's special punishments. The more position you have, the higher position you have, the more responsible you are. Even there's one movie. One of my disciples, he likes to watch superhero movies. And there's one slogan in one of these superhero movies, is it, with great power comes great responsibility. So, you know, it's not that I watch the movies, but he tells me about them. Superhero kata. So Krishna's the original superhero. So anyway, with great power comes great responsibility, and that's a fact. The higher or more knowledge you have, the more responsibility you have. I mean, for example, let's say my position, you know, supposed to be GBC guru, whatever. So if you go out and you see me going to the movies, it's not, you know, some movie theater here. You have movie theaters here in Slovenia? No. Haven't invented them yet. Anyway, so if you see, then it's a disaster because, you know, it'll be on the internet, you know, pictures. Nanda will take pictures, put it on Facebook. You know, it'll be a disaster for my reputation, you know, for my position in ISKCON. You know, so many problems. But if a regular person goes, like if Baladev goes to the movie, you know, his wife will just say, why didn't you take me? I'm just joking. I mean, I'll do that. So the higher... what I'm saying is the higher position you have, there's more responsibility to act properly. So, and even in the Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, it lists special punishments that are just there for Brahmins. Like if a Brahmin drinks liquor, what's the punishment? Does anyone know? Does anyone know the fifth canto here? Hot iron is poured down his throat by the Yamadutas. If just, you know, an ordinary person in a bar drinks liquor, I mean, I'm sure there's a punishment, but it's not as bad. It's not as bad. I don't know what the punishment is for an ordinary person, but specifically it's for a Brahmin, isn't it? So when you have responsibility, when you have, Prabhupada even said that if a GBC member makes a mistake, guess what happens in his next life? Does anyone know? Anyone know the story? He becomes a Shudra. Because Prabhupada was talking about Vidura, who previously was Yamaraj. He made a mistake. You know, this Mandavya Muni, he had him pierced with a lance because when he was young, he pierced an insect with a straw. And so Prabhupada said, Yamaraj was cursed to become a Shudra because he made that mistake. Similarly, Prabhupada would say, Yamaraj is one of Krishna's GBC members. So it's not that the GBC members are like Yamaraj. Yamaraj was Krishna's GBC, but don't think of GBC members as Yamaraj, you know, the Lord of Death meant to punish you, you know. So Prabhupada says, similarly, if they make a mistake, serious mistake, then they have to take birth as a Shudra in their next life. So this responsibility. Or the story of a temple present. Did I ever tell the story before? It's interesting. Once upon a time, there was a, I think I told this story. Anyway, there was a dog that was beaten by a Brahmin. And the dog went to Maharaj Yudhisthira. and complain. He said, you know, because even dogs had a right to have justice. So he went to Maharaj Yudhisthira and said, this Brahmin is beating me. And the Maharaj Yudhisthira called for the Brahmin. You know, is this dog beating you? I mean, is the Brahmin beating you? A dog beating you. Is the Brahmin beating you? And this is the Brahmin. And the dog said, yes. And the Brahmin said, did you beat this dog? I mean, the king said, did you beat this dog? And the Brahmin said, yes, but I was hungry. When I'm hungry, I get angry. So I beat the dog. Okay. So the king said, you know, what sort of punishment should we give this Brahmin? And they were just talking to each other, talking to each other, talking to each other. And finally the dog said, you know, I have an idea. Let him become temple president. And everyone was shocked. You know, why should he become temple president? Why are you rewarding him with some position just because he did something bad? And Yudhisthira Maharaj said, let the dog explain. So then dog uvacha. The dog said, because guess why I'm a dog? Because my last life I was temple president. And I was responsible. Well, no, here's the real more. I was responsible for everything going on in the temple. And you know, the temple president, like the king, takes a certain amount of reaction for anybody doing anything bad in the temple. So don't worry. That's a story from the Bhagavad, from the either the Mahabharata or the Ramayana. Yeah. So anyway, so when you have a position, there's more responsibility, and if you don't fulfill those responsible duties, then there's greater reaction. So does that scare everybody? So any other questions? Actually, I still have to take prasadam. So on that happy note, we'll offer our basis all glories to divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol.